Welcome to Hometown Happenings, a podcast of unique and interesting stories happening in towns and cities across South Carolina. I'm your host, Todd Glover. All right, today we're joined by Mayor Stephen Murray of Beaufort, and I'm glad to have you with us, Mayor, today. This is actually, you're the first guest on my new podcast series, and so welcome.
Man, I'm almost speechless. I'm honored to be back up here in the MSC and be the first guest on the podcast.
The prize is in the mail. It will beat you back to Beaufort. But
well, I gotta, you know, I'll share some love. I'm deeply appreciative to you and everybody here at MASC. As a local government guy, we really appreciate the resources that you provide to us, and the efforts of making sure that we're represented adequately in the General Assembly. So big props to all you and your team.
Well, thank you for that. Actually, you've been here with us all day today. We've been over at the State House fighting short-term rental legislation shaking hands with politicians and legislators and trying to get the message on preemption out. So we appreciate you giving us a whole day today. So we appreciate that.
Hey, man, democracy is a team sport.
So. I like that. We actually wanted to talk to you today. I know I've known a little bit about your efforts in assisting Ukraine. And as I was preparing to talk to you today, I was a little surprised and maybe perhaps a little sheepishly embarrassed that I didn't realize that this conflict has been going on between Russia and Ukraine since 2014. And I know that really things that we became aware of in the U.S. February last year, Russia really escalates things in the Ukraine. We see this humanitarian crisis across the world as Ukrainians are fleeing their country and going into Poland and these other countries. Tell me how you got involved and really what came about from your involvement with Ukraine.
Yeah, well, I guess a few weeks after the war kicked off, when Russia invades Ukraine, some of the towns and cities around the country were flying the Ukrainian flag or passing resolutions of support, and had some citizens reach out and, want to know what the city was going to do if we'd fly the Ukrainian flag. And I think those symbols and that solidarity is important. But to me, it didn't feel like quite enough. And I have this quote that I love. It's think globally, act locally. And then also, I think my empathy sort of kicked in. And I was thinking, if I'm a mayor in Ukraine of a town that, the size of Beaufort, and they didn't have a strong national defense like we do, right? I sleep comfortably because I've got thousands of Marines and sailors at the Marine Corps Air Station and Parris Island and Naval Hospital that are in or near our jurisdiction, right? I got F-18s that fly over my house that are on our team. But what if that wasn't the case? And so to think that, they don't have a strong national defense, what resources do they have? Would it be possible, how could we support? So I was up late one night having trouble sleeping. I just got on the internet, got on Google, started searching towns in Ukraine, trying to sort of better understand the situation. And I came across this little town called Ostro in western Ukraine, about the size of Beaufort, 15,000 plus population, but it's part of a greater region, just as we are. It's home to Ukraine's first university. The city of Beaufort's home to one of South Carolina's first universities, right? The University of South Carolina Beaufort, chartered in late 1700s. It's got a river that runs right through the middle of it, albeit a freshwater river. We got a saltwater river. And I found the mayor's Facebook page. So just in the, middle of the night, I sent Mayor Urey a Facebook message and said, "Hey, I'm mayor of Beaufort, South Carolina in the States. We think what Russia's doing to you is really awful. If anything, know that we're thinking about you, but is there some way that we could help? What do you need?" Mm-hmm. Went to sleep and was surprised. I woke up in the morning and I had a return message from Mayor Urey. And he said, "Hey, thanks. It means a lot to know that someone in America is thinking about us." And his council had just created a charity account to be able to accept funds from folks that wish to make contributions. The city, we have a Pride of Place fund that we set up several years ago to capture private donations They can either be individually directed towards, you know, park benches and trees, and or we can have sort of enterprise funds towards specific projects. Mm-hmm. So I thought, well, you know, at a minimum, give citizens an opportunity to donate towards the fund. We can capture it. We've already got the sort of structure in place. And then it's as simple as my side job. I'm a manufacturer. We do business in 30 different countries, and so pretty comfortable with international wire transfers back and forth, and thought, well, you know, we can, at a minimum, we can send them some money. Mm-hmm. So pitched it to my council and our staff. They thought it was a great idea, jumped right on it. Our communications team started putting out some press releases. And actually, I did a Zoom with Mayor Urey. This was March of 22, so just over a year ago. And we actually did it right here at MASC's offices. I was up here for some effort in the General Assembly, and so y'all generously gave me an office and made contact with Urey. So that's kind of how it started, and it sort of just took off.
So just happenstance, you just find this city in Ukraine on the internet, connect via social media. Now, geographically, where are they close to the Crimea, where a lot of the front line is, or they're on
so they're on western Ukraine, I believe 70-80 miles from the Polish border, and so knock on wood, to this point, they have not seen sort of the worst of the fighting. They've had some sort of rockets, mortars come close within the region. Mm-hmm. Some of their power stations have been affected by Russian sort of invasion, but to this point, they haven't been in the heart of it. Although they've been most affected by a pile of refugees coming out of the sort of the front lines looking for shelter, and then also trying to provide support and supplies to their troops on the front lines.
So we saw early on during that humanitarian crisis, really, where people were fleeing the region during the war, you had more refugees in cities than actual people who lived in the
right.
city. And I almost said citizens, but my communications folks always tell me not to say citizens. You're not a citizen of the city. You're a citizen of the country, but a resident of the city. So you had more refugees in the city than you had actual residents.
Right.
And, you know, thinking of our situation here in cities in a town of your size, to have 25, 30, 40,000 refugees show up in your city, I can't imagine the challenges that come with that.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm a little biased, right? Because I'm a local government guy. But I think, you know, when it comes down to directing resources and taking care of people and providing efficient, you know, value driven services as quickly as possible, I think local government does it best. And so that was the other thought. You know, we could have donated to some big sort of international charity. And we had talked about that, but I felt like putting this money right in the hands of a local government in Ukraine, knowing how hard local government works right now, and how I think we place resource very efficiently. I mean, not all the times, right? We certainly make our mistakes, but by and large, I think local government does a really good job of taking care of folks and providing services, especially in some of these crises. Situations. So I thought it was important for us to put that money right into the hand. And we told Urey, right? He's like, what can we use this for? I was like, we don't care, right? Bullets, bread, whatever it is, you know, you put this money where it will help people.
Well, and so we were talking this morning in your testimony at the State House this morning about how cities know best about what is happening in their jurisdiction. And that's true wherever that city is in the world. This is not just not in the United States. This is, you know, in the Ukraine, that city knows best about, they were on the front lines of that humanitarian crisis. So tell us how you started this fundraising campaign, and how much did you raise?
Yeah, so, you know, I was hoping to raise maybe $20,000, $30,000. I thought that was an ambitious goal for us. And I think it really... This story is broader and highlights sort of the generosity of our community, but highlights the generosity of South Carolina. A couple of things I think really cool happened. One, we have a glassmaker. He's a retired Navy guy, industrial hygienist, and but he makes these beautiful glass pieces. Greg Rawls, he started making Ukraine flag pins out of glass. And then we had this gallery downtown Beaufort called Thebo Galleries, great local artist. Greg sells his pieces there. Well, he started bringing his flag pins to Thebo, $20 each, and was selling the flag pins. And both Greg and Thebo were donating 100% of the proceeds. And Thebo even ate the credit card fees if you were, man, they were shipping them. So we pushed that out, and I forget how many thousands, it was like 8 miles of glass or something that Greg said he cut by hand. So we raised, they raised $30,000-$40,000 in these flag pins. We had a one generous donor who put in, I think it was $40,000 or $50,000 just in a big contribution. And then a pile of little donations. One neighborhood, created this very beautiful Ukraine quilt and sold raffle tickets. We had a family create, jewelry, handmade jewelry, and all the proceeds from the sale of those jewelry, went into the fund. So we ended up, I think it was around $135,000-$140,000 in cash, that we raised. But in my conversations with Yuri, food sustainability, especially as the winter came and they weren't able to get out and grow like they historically had been able to, was a real concern, especially for troops on the front lines. So I called Anita Patel, who's the Department of Commerce. I think she's at the U.S. division now. But I called her and I said, hey, I'm looking for companies in South Carolina that have sort of processed foods or stable foods that we might be able to ship to Ukraine. So she gave me a short list of companies, and I just started cold calling these companies. And one is called Sopaco up in Mullins, South Carolina. And Sopaco is one of only three suppliers to the U.S. military for MREs.
Okay.
And they've had that contract, I think, going back to the 50s. So I called, I tracked down the president's office number. I got his executive assistant, and I didn't think he'd answer the phone, right? I thought I was going to get the voicemail. And he gets on the phone. He's like, oh, Mayor Buford, what can I do for you? I was like, well, we got this Ukraine thing. We've adopted this city. I'm looking for some MREs. And so he said, well, send me an email. I'll take it to my board and see what we can do. And I thought, you know, he's blowing me off. I'm never going to hear from this guy again. So I captured an email, sent it to him. About 2 weeks later, I'm driving. He calls me, and he says, hey, this is I'm drawing a blank on his name now. I'm sorry about that. We've talked, and we're going to donate 100,000 MREs to Ukraine.
100,000. Wow.
Yeah, 40 pallets of MREs. And he says, when can you pick them up? And I go, well, we don't quite have transportation worked out yet, but let me get back to you on that. So
the second miracle was arranging for the delivery of the MREs. The first one was getting the MREs.
So now I find I've got $500,000 worth of MREs. I'm sitting in Mullins, South Carolina. It's four tractor trailers. So Lonnie Thompson is the president of Sopaco. And and thanks to Anita, Marshen Mills out of Edisto Island, they make grits and rice, a really great little company. They donated 4,000 pounds of grits and 4,000 pounds of cornmeal. So now I got 100,000 MREs and 8,000 pounds of grain I got to get to Ukraine. So we start calling around. One of my council colleagues is a retired 2-star Air Force general. So my first thought is, well, there's a bunch of military flights. Maybe we can put all this stuff on a military flight and send it over. So Mitch Mitchell, General Mitchell, Councilman Mitchell, he starts calling his military contacts, and he spends like 2 days on the phone. We end up tracking down this charity out of Mississippi who does exactly this. They connect supplies, whether it's medical supplies or food, and then connect it with freight and logistics and other people who want to donate money for those logistics. So we organized a whole effort, shipped four and a half containers of MREs and 8,000 pounds of cornmeal and grits to Ukraine. And so it hit a factory in Lviv, or a warehouse in Lviv, and all those were distributed to the front lines.
That's amazing. I mean, that was one of my questions, was once you raised these items, you know, one of the things that we continually heard about in the early stages of the conflict was the disruption to the supply chain. Even here in the United States, we were having, you know, coming right off the back end of COVID, we were hearing, well, it's the war in Ukraine. You can't get anything here. We can't, you know, we had bare shelves here in the United States because of that. It's really amazing that during that point, you can get 100,000 MREs and 8,000 pounds of grits back to them in a war zone, in a country that's in the middle of a war.
Absolutely. I mean, fortunately, you know, life is all about relationships. And so, you know, finding, you know, one Mitch and then his military contacts led us to Charita Scheidenberg out of World of Connections. And so World of Connections for 20 years now has been connecting supplies with people in war-torn countries and impoverished countries and making these connections. And so she had relationships. They knew a warehouse in Ukraine. They knew freight forwarders in Ukraine. It took about twice as long as it normally would have to get materials in there, but we've got these great photos and videos now of Ukrainian soldiers unpacking these SOPAKO MREs. And so we you know, right here in Little South Carolina, with a company in Mullins, some folks in Beaufort, some folks in Edisto, we're feeding troops on the front lines to help them keep the Russians at bay.
And I love the fact that you found South Carolina companies to jump in with you. You know, it wouldn't have surprised me if you said, well, there's companies in the United States to help, but right here in our own state to be able to have those is pretty awesome as well. I'm wondering if folks in the Ukraine know what grits are.
Well, so it's funny.
They do now.
Well,
right?
The mayor and I talked. You know, he's like, grits. What's what is that? And I said, well, it's sort of like polenta. You know, and he's like, okay, yeah. Polenta. We know that. And so I had sent some links to grits recipes, and I sort of interested in how that worked out. But with the money that we donated, they did have some electrical issues throughout the winter. And so they outfitted several community centers, bought some food for refugees, bought generators and charging stations. So folks were able to charge their phones and have some electricity through the winter. And so that's where they've mostly placed the funds that we've donated.
Connection between mayors. I mean, that's got to be a pretty special thing. I mean, you're leading efforts here, but at the same time, I imagine you're thinking about what would I be doing if I were the mayor of this city?
Well, that's exactly how this started, you know, laying in bed going, man, if I was a mayor in Ukraine and Russia was knocking at the door and I didn't have four squadrons of F-18s, you know, right down the street, boy, would I be panicking. And I do think, you know, as a mayor, one of the coolest things about the job is this sort of fraternity of mayors.
Right.
And I found that until you've done this job, you don't really understand it. But with the Mayor's Association, I think it's one of the meetings I really enjoy going to because I like sharing the stories, listening to advice, complaining, whining to each other about our shared experiences. And I found that that's just not, that's not unique to South Carolina or even America. I've now got a mayor friend in Ostro, Ukraine. Got a mayor friend in Nisoros, Greece. And, you know, while we're 5,000 plus miles apart, we're really not that different.
Has this changed your perspective any when we all know that cities tackle issues, you have controversial issues from time to time. It's a stressful position to be in. I'm a former city manager. I wasn't elected, but I've been in the trenches. I've been in contentious public hearings. Does thinking about what the mayor of Ukraine is going through, did it change your perspective any as to, hey, I'm dealing with a contentious issue, but this is not life and death like my colleague is dealing with?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. And I think it sort of reinforces. Early in my business career, I had a mentor that said, Stephen, you know, if you can treat things are never as bad as they seem and they're never as good as they seem. You sort of take the middle ground. So that's sort of one piece of advice I try to embody. And then I read a story about Senator John McCain one time. And after he had passed, one of his colleagues in the Senate was saying that, you know, these guys, we get all excited and, you know, upset and frustrated about these political matters that we deal with. But, you know, here's McCain was a prisoner of war, you know, a combat veteran, someone who had served in theater. And, you know, that's really awful stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and to be in a war zone. So I think it puts it in perspective that we are blessed to be able to participate in this democracy, and to solve problems for our people, and not get shot at, right? Not having our friends and neighbors being killed by, the neighbors wanting to come across the border. So I think absolutely of how blessed we are to be able to sleep, you know, in this free country that we live in. You know, granted, we've got some tremendous challenges, but I think oftentimes we don't appreciate, again, how blessed we really are. And in South Carolina, for most of us, the wave of prosperity that is washing across South Carolina really gives us mm-hmm. some great opportunities around education and social benefit and transportation and amenities. I mean, it's an exciting time to be in leadership. And I agree. I think, you know, knowing that we're not in a war zone, we ought to be grateful.
It's the complacency of security. You know, we're really, it's a privilege to serve in this public realm. But when you really think about, you're trying to improve the lives of the residents of Beaufort. And there's other cities in the world that are just trying to make sure that the people are fed, or it really, really puts things into perspective. How do you think, you know, it seems like the occasionally something will happen in this conflict that'll bring it back to the front page. But if you're still an old newspaper guy like I am, I like to hold the paper. I don't, you know, I like to have it in my hands. It seems like it's on page 13 now instead of one or two. And maybe as a country, we've even started to kind of forget about that this is going on. What do you think, you know, as a country, we've kind of been... We're helping with some equipment. We've you know, given money as a nation, kind of staying out of it. We're on the just fresh out of coming out of Afghanistan and the Iraq War. How did it seems like your community just rallied around this?
They absolutely did. I mean, from again buying piles of these flag pins to Ukrainian flags being flown from houses. We had a forum where we had a couple of Ukrainian citizens who live in Beaufort now. We had a guy from the Army War College who had mm-hmm. Was an expert on Russian military tactics. So we did a panel discussion and had a packed house in our local performing arts theater with several hundred people there who were interested in the subject. And so again, I'm really proud of our community and how they, when asked, you know, rallied to support, you know, this little tiny city and our Ukrainian neighbors 5,400 miles away.
Was the emphasis more about it's helping the people? It's not, we're not taking a policy issue on, you know, the involvement in the Ukrainian war. This is just a humanitarian.
Yeah, no, I mean, again, I told them, you know, they might be buying bullets. They might be buying rockets. I don't really care. I mean, I made this joke, you know, what if Canada woke up one day and decided they wanted to come into America and take us over? I mean, I don't think it'd work out very well for the Canadians. but I, you know, you might make that same argument.
Right,
The Ukrainians are, I mean, they're tough as hell. Mm-hmm. And I don't know about y'all, but I've been pretty darn impressed with how aggressive they have fought given their resource constraints, you know, even to see Ukrainian grandmothers, you know, standing up to Russian citizens. And I think America, we'd be in the same place, right? We will fight for our freedom. We will fight for this democracy. Mm-hmm. Again, we want to tear this country apart based on all these cultural issues right now. You know, as Churchill said, democracy is the worst form of government besides all the others. So if you've got a better way for us to self-govern, I'm opening to hear it. But, I think we have a responsibility, just as we've done for an awfully long time, to support democracy across the world. I think we've got to send a very clear signal to Russia that this should not be tolerated. And as long as the Ukrainians are willing to fight, I think we have a responsibility to provide resources to let them defend themselves at a minimum.
It's an incredible story. I mean, their military, from everything we've seen, seems to be, you know, very advanced, almost really equipment-wise, more advanced than what Russia's utilizing coming in. Their president has been, you know, a real inspirational leader, I think, to that country. When you think about any time he makes an appearance, the man's in danger. I mean, he's been on the front lines. He's been in the Ukrainian cities. He's been at the UN and lot of times it's, you know, a Zoom call from, you know, wherever he is in Ukraine. So it really is amazing. But to do what your community did, you know, are there still ongoing efforts?
There are ongoing efforts. We've got a neighborhood association who's, I think, raised just over additional $5,000. And so now they're making direct wire transfers to Ostro's account. We've got a conversation at the city about maybe reinvigorating our campaign. Mm-hmm. You know, right now, knock on wood, Ostro's a peaceful place. I think I've also drawn some courage and absolute respect that Mayor Uri and his council and the community there is trying to make life as normal as possible. Mm. So they're still having events. There's, you know, he has a youth council, so they have this youth council that stood up and they're still meeting. And so to watch them on Facebook, you know, 100 or so miles from a war zone, continue and try to live life and to make it as normal as possible for his people. Mm-hmm. I think there's some real lessons in leadership for us in those stories too.
So if we have other cities and towns that are listening to this inaugural podcast, how could they get involved if they'd like to get involved? Is there a contact you, the city? Is there a website, a Facebook page?
I mean, we gladly accept funds. We've got the Pride of Place fund still set up with the segregated account. And it's pretty easy to wire funds. If anybody wants to adopt another city and wants to reach out to me just to talk about the process by which we did that. We also passed a city partnership agreement between Ostro. So our council unanimously approved a partnership agreement that didn't really commit us anything, just, you know, kind of solidarity. My hope is once the war is over and Ukraine is victorious, that I'll travel over to Ukraine, and get to visit with Mayor Uri and, see how cool Ostro is, and would love to have him and some of his folks come over and visit Beaufort. And, you know, maybe out of this chaos, there's an opportunity for future sort of learning and understanding with our neighbors 5,000+ miles Absolutely. Away from us.
Well, I do think it's really amazing. Beaufort is to be commended. You are to be commended, your council. Just love the entire story of how, you know, your leadership there brought your council, your citizens together. I did it again, Russell, or your residents together. Raise hundreds of thousands of dollars and put it into a war zone. And,
well, one of my favorite quotes is, by a guy named Donald Gannon, who used to run CBS News Corp back in like the 50s or 60s. And his quote is, "Leadership is action, not position." And when I go talk to kids, I always tell them that, right? Sometimes we think, you know, you have to be a mayor, you have to be a police officer, you have to have a title in order to be a leader. Mm-hmm. And I argue that leadership is just seeing a problem or seeing an issue or seeing someone in need and, you know, having that self-motivation to help. That's really leadership. Position just gives you the ability to lead in a different way or to help in a different way. And one of the cool things about being a mayor, is, man, it opens some doors, right? So I call, you know, Lonnie Thompson at Sobacco. If I'd have called him mm-hmm. as Citizen Stephen, I'm not sure if he would have gotten on the phone. Mm-hmm. But I called him as the mayor of the city of Beaufort, and that's a funny story I'll tell you offline. I called him as mayor of Beaufort. He answered the phone. And so that's the other thing I'll say, the elected officials sort of listening out there. You know, we get elected because we want to help our citizens in our town. And I know so many mayors sort of outside this, but the title gives us the ability to help and to lead at a different scale mm-hmm. Than you can as a private citizen. And so while I'm mayor, I fully intend to exploit that to the maximum capacity to help as much as I can, you know, in my city and now, you know, globally with our friends in Ukraine. And so that's my other sort of piece of advice. You know, don't discount that title and how it can open doors and help connect people and resources when you have a good idea.
Well, thank you for being with us today. It's an amazing story. It really is. And a human interest story. It's a story about the power of cities, not only in our country, but throughout the world. And I encourage the other folks in cities and towns listening to this podcast to get involved and contact you if they'd like to either adopt a city or help in your efforts there. But thank you for joining us, and what an amazing story.
Yeah, Todd, thanks for having me on. Again, I'm honored to be the inaugural guest here. And I'll say again, thank you so much for what you and the MSAC folks do on behalf of the 271 towns and cities across South Carolina.
Thank you. Be sure to follow the Municipal Association's podcast on Google Play, Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, Audible, Spotify, and SoundCloud. Find the latest from the Municipal Association on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and our association's website, www.masc.sc.